Dear Lord, you have challenged us in your word to study, to show ourselves approved. Therefore, open our hearts, O God, and prepare us to learn the essence of who you are this morning. Help us to drink deep of your revelation of yourself, and as we come to know you better, O Lord, may we also come to better know ourselves. Grant us by your grace success in our efforts. We thank you, O Lord, for your mercy and for your patience with us as we struggle to understand both you and ourselves better. May everything we do be done to your honor and to your glory. Amen.
I want to just say greetings from northern Wisconsin. We are a camp that's located about probably 4.5-5 hours north of here, so it's a little bit cooler. I'm not going to say it's much drier, although I guess we did have a sunny day up there yesterday compared to here. And so, can you guys hear me okay? Okay. And so, we have actually going on this weekend a thing that we call Man Camp. It's a men's retreat. We had last weekend we had the first of the two man camps. We decided to split it into two weekends. We had a fella by the name of Tierce Green who does the 33 series. Maybe some of the men here have gone through some of those where you've studied under some of their teaching. Tierce was a great speaker for us last weekend. This weekend, I'm praying the same is true. I don't know. I forget the name of the speaker this weekend. Last weekend, there were about 120 men there. This weekend, there's close to 170. And so to have men and boys that are coming under the Word of God to hear how to be challenged, how to deal with the lives that they're being dealt in our world today with all sorts of evil and temptation that comes toward men. We need men that will stand up and be strong and be counted for Christ. And this last week we had an outdoor education group in from Moline Christian School down from Moline, Illinois. And I was reminded that they had been there every year. I've been there and I've been at camp. Becky and I have been at Forest Springs for 26 years as of this December. I'm the director of our maintenance department there. But anyway, this last week, a young man came to know the Lord as his Savior by being in the environment of Christian camping and being exposed to the nature education. And I think just the Holy Spirit must have connected the dots and crossed the T's for this young man in his heart as he gave his life to Christ. And so it's kind of a neat report that we had from this Christian school who brought these kids. So not everybody in a Christian school is a Christian. And not everybody that comes to a church is a Christian. And so we can't assume anything as we minister to the people that come to Forest Springs. This last summer, we had the opportunity to serve 1,200 young people through our youth camps. Of that 1,200, there were about 360 kids that came scholarshiped. That means they didn't have money to come to camp, but God provided for them to come to camp. And sometimes it's through different churches, sometimes individuals that give to our scholarship fund and will fund kids to be able to come and have an opportunity to be under the teaching of the Word of God. It's kind of neat for Becky and I because we have grandchildren now that want to come to camp, and they did the day camp this year. They're not quite ready for the overnight yet, but they're both 7 this summer. And next year they're talking about maybe doing a half a week overnight. So we'll see how that goes. But it's exciting to see how God continues to do work in the lives of young people. And as you know, a lot of times it's those younger ages that are tender to the gospel And that's our hope, is that we can catch a lot of them early. I work with it's called True Seekers on Wednesday nights at our church. And I'm a verse coach, so I get to listen to kids read verses. And many of you know my dad, Vernon Herrenstein, who passed away in 2016. He used to do that too. He would be a verse coach, but he'd also bake cookies for the kids and take them. And it was always funny to watch him bake cookies, because he was pretty particular, as you know my dad. And he wanted things done a certain way. And somebody said, yeah, I remember the flowers out in the Golden Age circle. And they had to be planted a certain way. So my dad was pretty particular. But as he did cookies, he would put one tray in the oven at a time. And he'd have his chair sitting there with the light on in the oven. Hello? And he would watch them bake. And so it was always fun for me to see the strong desire that he had to do things well, no matter what it was, whether it was baking cookies or being a verse coach to these young boys in True Seekers. And as I'm working, there's two young boys that I'm working with and I'm praying for. One is Preston and the other one is Carter. And these kids have no spiritual input in their lives all week long. The only time they have it is when they come on Wednesday nights. And you can tell this one kid really wants to please me by being able to say his verses, but he won't look at me because he hasn't had anybody helping him work on them during the week. And it's these kind of kids that get to come to camp free. We go out into the schools and into the neighborhoods there around us, because we want to reach our neighborhood first. And so some of these kids get to come to camp for a whole week. And so you think of the impact that Sunday school or True Seekers has one night a week is very small. But as you multiply that over the course of 6 days to be with a counselor who loves the Lord and is able to take these kids and spend time with them in the cabinet in the evenings and talk about things they've heard in the Bible classes morning and evening, and through, we have a puppet team that does puppets and to just communicate so well to this age group. In fact, I think some of us older people like the puppets just as much as the younger people do. But we have a lot of fun. And so camp is a great place. It's been in existence for over 60 years and been doing ministry there. Not only does camp do a ministry to kids and to young people, but also to family camps. This last year, we had probably the largest attendance that we've ever had for family camps. We do 6 family camps during the summer after youth camps are over. And there were 2,100 people that came under the teaching of the Word of God for family camp this summer. And out of the summer, I think we've seen over 120 to 130 decisions for Christ in some way, shape, or form, whether it's been through salvation, hearing the gospel for the first time, or recommitting their lives to something deeper. And so camp is a very useful tool in the life of a church. And that's what we want to be, is that part of that tool belt that you guys can use, other churches can use, and send their kids to camp. We've had young people from this church who've come for work teams. And I was in charge of a lot of the work teams, and we worked really hard, didn't we? In the back here, we worked really hard. She's the bus driver for a lot of times when they would come up. And we would, do a lot of physical work. But then we'd have time sitting around a campfire later and get to talk about learning to be a servant and what that means. And every year at the beginning of the summer, we start our summer out by doing summer staff training and counselor training. Our counselor training lasts for 2 weeks. It's pretty intensive. They can even receive college credit for our counselor training. And so if they apply for that, they can get college credit from whatever school they apply through. They can get it for their college education.
And so that's kind of a bonus. Plus, they get paid to be a counselor. But our counselors are pretty well selected through quite a process. And then they're trained through counselor training. One of the first classes that we have with our counselors and our summer staff is called Servant Leadership. And today, with a passage of scripture that was read to us in the beginning, was Philippians chapter 2. And it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being that servant. I want to look a little bit further, a little bit closer at some of the life of Christ as he worked with his disciples. And if you will turn with me to Mark chapter, I had it marked here. Let me, Mark chapter 10, verse 42 through 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 42 through 45. Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's start with verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, the rest of the disciples, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So we take this passage of scripture and we look at it with our young summer staff and our counselors, because we feel that unless our staff adopt a servant attitude toward those who we minister for the summer, we won't have a great summer. And not that it depends on that completely, because it is God who does and moves in the hearts of young people. But he's called us to a higher standard than the rest of our culture, the rest of our world. And you know that this kind of leadership doesn't come naturally, does it? How many of you have seen that in your world where people are always willing to serve and step out of their way to help you? It's just the opposite in our world today. Everybody's elbowing each other, trying to get to the front of the line, and they want to be first, and they want to have a position of preeminence. Well, we go on. One of the key phrases in this passage, and you might have caught it, "not so with you." This is not to be a quality or a character trait of you as my disciples. You're not supposed to be like this, like the rest of the culture. You're to be different. And I think God has called us and mandated us to be different in our culture, in our world. And as we serve one another in this church and in churches around our country, God has called us to be different. "Not so with you." In John chapter 13, let's turn over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. Verses 3 through 5. Jesus does something
so culturally unexpected that it just, I think, takes his disciples off guard and the culture in which he lived off guard. As you know, in those times, in those biblical times, they wore sandals and walked from place to place. And when they walked from place to place, many times there would be a servant that would be in the house that would meet the guests at the door and would have a pan and a towel there so that he could wash their feet. Well, Jesus, when they met on the last night before he was betrayed, had supper with his disciples. And chapter 13, let's start right at the beginning of verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash my feet, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Give me a whole bath." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet, and he put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet." For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scriptures will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me, and I'm telling you this now before it takes place. Jesus knew that he was from God. He knew he had authority, and he had authority given to him by his Father. But yet he laid aside that, much as our passage in Philippians chapter 2 said, setting aside those things that he could lay claim to and put it aside, and wrapped himself with a towel and grabbed a basin and came down among his disciples on his hands and knees and washed their feet. As we start our summers every summer for the last, this has been 26 years we've worked at camp, we present this message to our young staff. And they have maybe a little struggle buying into it. I know I did when I first heard it, because as we start our summer, right before our first little youth campers come, we have a message and a service much like this, where at the end of it, our director will begin to wash all of our feet right before 120 kids. And all of us as directors in our department, mine for the maintenance department, will then go and wash my maintenance guy's feet.
And as they have guys that they're responsible for, they wash their feet. And our program director washes his counselor's feet. And the counselors then will take that in. And as you can begin to picture what's going on here, just a little bit of displaying a message with physical activity. Not saying that this is what we have to do, but Jesus said, this is what you need to do. You need to serve one another. Even here in this church, there may be some that have come for years and never felt served. And maybe it's time. I don't know. If the administrative ruling body of this church, I'm not saying that there's anything magical about that, but it's a humbling experience. And we need to learn to humble ourselves before our brothers and sisters. And so all the men leaders will wash the men's feet, and then the girl staff counselor will wash the girl counselor's feet. And it is a rich service that happens there at the beginning of our season. And I think it makes a difference in our culture that we have at camp. So that when people come, you have some of the youngest staff who will feel confident of knowing that they can be a servant. And they can go out and greet people, and they can love people and accept people for who they are. We just recently had a guy come to interview to begin hopefully learning the area of vehicles and equipment maintenance at our camp. And he's one of our former LTD at a camp in Mexico for a while, served 3 years there, and then was at another camp. And God's moving him at this point. And as they came when I wasn't there, and I said, well, forgive me, but I have a small group meeting that night. It was a Sunday evening. And so they said, oh, we can let ourselves in. And well, when they got there, we have what's called a trailhead program that's going on, starts in the fall. Well, those kids have been here, young people have been there only since the beginning of September. Well, this is just last week this happened. And as this couple came with their kids, our trailhead students were there, and they greeted them. And they said, can we help you carry your luggage? And all of a sudden, they're beginning to serve. And they've only heard this message. They also get this message of servant leadership at the beginning of their time here at Forest Springs. And they just had it a week ago. They're putting it into action this last week as they greeted this couple that came. And this couple said to us, you know, we've been here at camp, we came through the LTD program, and we've left, we've gone to other places, but the culture here is different. And that culture spoke so loudly to us that that's one thing that hasn't changed, and we're glad to see that that hasn't changed since we left 5 years ago. And so even our young students catch on to that. And so God is asking us as his disciples to serve one another. And it's a mandate that we serve one another. And I think that Jesus, being aware of his authority, humbled himself and served. And so as we look at ourselves and we look at the scripture, we see that this demonstrates our submission and our accountability to God, who has maybe put us in a position, at me as a director of the maintenance department, but that means nothing. It means that I get to serve even more. It empowers those we lead to accomplish great things. And we don't do it as a ploy or as a thing that can create a better business or anything like that. We do it for a higher purpose than that. We do it so that people's lives are reached by the gospel. It takes away any distraction and causes people to step aside and go, wow, these people really love me. These people really care about me. And I think that as the days of our culture grow darker, our lights can shine brighter in this dark world. And we can make a difference in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and in our churches if we learn this concept of serving one another. So what difference does it make? I believe that it does set up a culture that is felt when somebody comes in that door back there. They know right away, this is a church who cares. This is a body of believers who care for one another. And it's going to start, maybe it's going to start with just this nucleus of people that's here today. Maybe God's going to use that and empower you to begin serving just each other. And let God be the one that will spread that fire in this community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that though you had all authority and you had all might and all power and had position and preeminence, that you, as our example, set those things aside and went to the cross and died the death of a slave to take our sin upon you. I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here this morning that doesn't have that message in their heart and doesn't believe it, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself. And Father, we pray that you would use this time for your honor and for your glory. And we pray for the life of this church as it's been here for 174 years, Lord. What a heritage. But yet, we can't always look back to our heritage. We have to look ahead to say, God, what do you want us to do? And how do you want us to live? Because to share the gospel in this day and age is maybe different than it was back in the beginnings. The message hasn't changed, but the methods maybe have changed. And the culture continues to darken. And Lord, our lights, we need to let them shine. So I pray for this church, pray for my life and my wife's life, that you would help us, Lord, with this. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for letting me share.